Brothers and sisters, as Aaron has led us in singing and in prayer, before we look at this passage or the two chapters together, I would like to encourage us to once again come back before the throne of God and let's ask God to lead us through this part of worship. Let us pray. Father God, indeed, as the last song just reminded us, may we be able to say in some way during this last 1+ years of pandemic staying at home, that we would be able to say that in parts of our life, we are able to say with your enabling that we would rather have Jesus than silver and all gold, than anything else, more than anything else indeed. And this morning as we come before you, we ask, O Lord, that your message would come alive. We pray, Father God, that you would create sparks in our thoughts, our meditations, in our obedience and in actions. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to fan the flame of passionately serving you, following you, honoring one another with agape love, and preaching the Lord Jesus, not just in days to come, but also in the new normal. We pray, Father God, for your teaching to be rooted in our hearts. And we also pray, Father, that again for Pastor Josh and Esther and the family, wherever they are right now, be with them. Be also with Pastor Joanna, even as she serves you in the Mandarin service going on at the moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask and giving thanks too. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how excited and oh so happy I am to have this opportunity to worship with the English congregation. Why? Because for at least 16 months or so, I haven't been able to do so. But I also want you to know that you are often remember in prayer more than one time a week. For we are praying not just for you, for the Mandarin congregation, but also for the body of Christ, wherever they may be. We are very thankful to God that God is the faithful God watching over us. But we are also very thankful and excited that not only has God led us in the pandemic, God will continue to lead us in the weeks as we prepare to reopen, but also in the so-called new normal. I'd like to share with you today with two chapters from the book of Numbers. It is a story that is familiar to most of us. It is recorded in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. But if you want to have a better understanding of the overall background, I would encourage you to read the preceding chapters too. Maybe you want to start from chapter 1 in Numbers, or if it is, too long a section to read, start from chapter 12 of Numbers. And this is a story that I like a lot because it has so many applications. Today, the main emphasis is on encouraging one of us using the Word of God. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to each and every one of us today, not just to CCC, but also using the Word of God to speak to all congregations, that as we prepare to reopen in this part of the state, what our aspirations could be based on the Word of God. So a little bit of a background. After the children of Israel were free from Egyptian bondage, and they were delivered from Pharaoh's army, they began their journey towards Mount Sinai. In the wilderness, we read that in the books of Deuteronomy, in the books of Exodus, God in the wilderness kept providing food, water, shelter, and protection for the people of Israel. And finally, when they arrived at Mount Sinai, they received the law from God through Moses, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments would govern the new people as a nation. The Ten Commandments, in its exhortation to obey God, would also identify or separate the new Israel as a nation, as a people, different from all other nations or people on earth. And after Moses numbered and reorganized the nation of Israel, they are now ready to enter the land of promise that God has given to them through his covenant made with Abraham. However, it appears that the people originated the idea, because in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20, and especially in 23, you would find that it was, the people originated the idea. They went to Moses and said, you know, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the routes we are to take and the towns we will come to. And this idea seems very common sense and also, pleasing to Moses. So Moses agreed with them. And at the same time, they also have God's blessing. So Moses sent out 12 spies to scout out the land and see how the people live, how strong they were, and what the land looked like. So after 40 days in the new area, the spies returned and described Canaan as a wonderful land, full of promises and potential. But also at the same time, they expressed doubt and hesitation and even a bit of fear whether they could conquer these strong peoples. Two of the spies, however, objected. Caleb and Joshua said, "We are well able. We are able to take the land, conquer it, and settle there." Unfortunately, the majority prevailed, and Israel wandered in the desert another 38 years while an entire generation died. This accounts from Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Should be very familiar to all or most of us. But the question is, what can we learn from it in light of the church reopening? What teaching does it provide as we gather at church in the new normal? Things are going to be very different, but we pray that instead of looking at the many, many details in these two chapters, that we will walk away with one lesson, exciting our hearts, giving us confidence as a people of God, and also spurring us to look forward to the new normal when we can serve God in joy and also with a passionate heart. So there are two attitudes among the 12 spies. The outlook of the 10 spies was not very bright, not very confident. They did an excellent job scouting out the land, but their report was one of gloom. Next slide. They could only see the problems instead of the possibilities, the giants instead of God, and defeat instead of victory. If you look at verse 32, 32 says, pretty much this is the NIV version. The ESV also has similar terminologies, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they have explored. It was a report based on facts and 40 days of hard work. However, look at how 32 described it. It was a factual report, but it was a very bad report. And if you have an interlinear English Hebrew Bible, or if you look up the particular word in the Hebrew Old Testament passage, you would find that, you know, the Hebrew language has it much worse, a stronger condemnation. Not only was it a bad report, it was an evil report. The report was factual. The report was based on hard work and experience, but overall, it was a bad report. It was an evil report. The attitudes of the 10 spies could certainly be called negative and unproductive. But on the other hand, Caleb and Joshua were very optimistic. Like the 10 spies, they surveyed the same landscape. Their report, however, was one of hope. They saw the possibilities instead of the problems. they saw God instead of the giants, and they believe in victory instead of defeat. God said Caleb in verse 24 of chapter 14 had a different spirit. He and Joshua were unlike the other 10, even though they all experienced the same thing in the land of promise. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and what is this different spirit? It is a spirit that is willing to follow God wholeheartedly. They saw difficulties. They saw possible battles. They saw a lot of challenges. But at the same time, they saw it with a heart, with a spirit that's willing to follow God wholeheartedly. It certainly was very different from the reports offered by the 10 spies, because it was positive instead of negative. Caleb and Joshua, and this is very important, saw God was leading the people into the land he was about to give them. They have seen God led during the time of Abraham, and years follow. They have seen God hear their cry for mercy and deliverance back in the days of Egypt. They have also seen God defeat the Egyptian armies approaching the Red Sea. They have seen God provide for them in terms of food, water, and shelter and encouragement. And now, in the so-called new normal land that they are going to enter, they continue, or at least they want to see God leading them forward. For God has made a promise, and God will not change his promise. This element of trust in God and in his leading is so pivotal, so critical in the Israelites receiving the land of promise. Today, as churches, our church at least, prepare to reopen. Don't be surprised that we may sometimes see a slightly different version of these two sets of attitudes. Sometimes maybe critical, and sometimes very optimistic because of what we know God has been doing. So let us take a closer look at their respective mindsets. The mindset of the 10 tribes, there are a lot of things that we can summarize from the two chapters, but these are just some of them. As far as the mindset of the 10 tribes concerned, this is what was going through their mind. Number one, doubt. Verse 31, because the man who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack those people. We are unable to do it. We are weak. Doubt sometimes would cause us to question our resources. Doubt sometimes would paralyze us. And doubt sometimes would blind our eyes to the God who has been leading us all along. So doubt. The second trait of the mindset is that, you know, they started to less appreciate themselves and the people. They depreciate themselves. Verse 33, it says, we saw the Nephilims there. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look very much the same to them. They were so afraid of the enemies that they did not think that they have a chance to defeat them. That's because they cherish a very small understanding, a weak understanding of themselves. They forgot that God was with them and God will continue to lead them. We seem like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Fear, number three, Joshua indicated in verse 9 of chapter 14 that they were afraid, logically afraid, understandably so. Fear oftentimes would inhibit us, would keep us from acting or doing the right thing. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. a few times. The exhortation to not be afraid of the enemies came up in this verse. Fear is a very real and powerful influence. But Joshua says, we have something greater than fear. That is the God who has been leading his people, and he will continue to do so faithfully. And then another trait that we can see as far as these 10 spies concerned is a critical spirit. When people became negative, it is easy to find that they start to criticize others or one another. The whole congregation, the whole nation of Israel was influenced by these terrible 10 to start murmur and complain against God's leader. In the first two verses, that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, mark these words from their lips, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. They have started to develop a critical spirit, complaining of other people, but also pointedly complaining against Moses and Aaron. God has used Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, and now they are turning against Moses and God's leadership. Rebellion, that would be the next step. Because of all these negative attitudes, they started also to harbor among themselves a spirit of rebellion, not just against the human leaders, but specifically against God. Moses and Aaron were no longer good enough to lead them. Caleb and Joshua followed Moses, and they too should not be trusted. They wanted leadership, decisive leadership. They wanted leadership that could influence, lead, comfort, and prosper the nation of Israel. So what did they do? We would choose a leader and go back to Egypt. The bottom line is that they were rebelling against not just the human leaders of Moses, but also specifically against God. They have forgotten. They have forgotten what God had been doing amongst them throughout these centuries. Their hearts had become ungrateful. They started to doubt God's ability and God's mercy. They were not thankful for what God has done for them. And imagine, just remember, you know, at the point in history, it has just been about 2 years when all these things, you know, were happening. That 2 years out of the land of Egypt, despite the many miracles that God has done for them, they started to rebel against God because they were overcome by fear after they have heard the reports of the 10 spies. Caleb and Joshua, on the other hand, were men who were different. They have a different disposition, a different focus on life, and they have a different attitude towards God and God's work. What were some of their mindsets? Faith. Caleb and Joshua had faith. They said, we are well able to do this. We are definitely qualified to overcome. They believe in themselves, in their fellow Israelites, but more importantly, they believe in God. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land. Why? For we can certainly do it as God enable us. Faith. Number two is confidence. They were also confident, not in their own ability, not in their own collective strength, but they were confident again in God. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is already gone. However, on our side, God is with us. He has never left us. He has been leading. He will continue to do so. Therefore, do not be afraid of the inhabitants in the land of promise. Caleb and Joshua had a confidence in the outcome of this undertaking because they were men and women who knew they were doing the will of God. Third, they also have courage. Because of the confidence, it led to courage. Joshua said, "Do not fear them," in verse 9. He was not afraid of the giants, the walled cities, or the strength of the enemy's people. They were confident that God is more than able to lead them forward, to establish them in the new land, and also to prosper them, to speak of his name. And number four, action. Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." They have a plan of action. They trusted in God and they're willing to work hard to follow God as he directed them. Thankfulness, last but not least. In verses 7 to 8 of chapter 14, if you read between the lines, you would find that there is a tinge of thankfulness, of gratitude to God. They know that God has been very good to them. They know that God has kept his promise in giving them the land of promise, and it turned out to be exceedingly good. They knew that God is pleased with them despite their constant rebellion. They also knew that God will continue to lead them into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and that God would make good his promises. So in between all this, you will read a note of thankfulness one after another. They were thankful to what God, they were thankful to God for what he has done. And they want to keep thanking, praising, and trusting God for what he's going to provide as they obediently respond to him. Today, in any ministry, whether we open or not, in any church, whether right now or in the so-called new normal, we need positive traits of faith, of confidence, courage. We need an appreciation and a deep knowledge of what God has done. God has been good and he will continue to be good. There are many reasons to come back to the church after COVID-19. Besides the reasons that we have seen in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, at least we can encourage one another to look forward to the days of regathering at the physical building. Right now, as we have always been doing, we encourage one another to worship together in our homes online. But we know that God has prepared something better for us. God is going to give us wisdom and guidance and lead us back to physical ministries at the church. We need brothers and sisters to join us. And there are a lot of reasons to do so. One is that we are a church family. We are one body in Christ. And as we return to the church, when it is safe and wise to do so, we want to encourage brothers and sisters to, in their own wisdom, also join us. We do not want to see church members dislocated, maybe because they have been too used to Zoom worship online. Maybe because, you know, they are now content with their own private worship at home. But we want people to know that we are one body in Christ and we need each and every one to join us for worship at the church. Pastor Josh, Pastor Joanna, and I have talked about this very briefly, and we pray that when it is time to reopen, we will not be intimidated by a spirit of hesitation, a spirit of choosing coziness and comfort at home over coming to worship and serve at church. But we pray that, you know, people will be drawn to regather for worship, for ministry, for fellowship, because we recognize from the very beginning that we are a church family. And because we are one body in Christ, we love to worship and gather together. The second thing is that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. If you are a believer, you are a person who has received the Lord Jesus into your lives as Savior, you know that you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And the indwelling Spirit will always lead us back to Christ and the people of God. And we pray that we would be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit so that yielding to the yearning he has put in the believer's heart, we would think about cherishing corporate worship over online worship. Next, definitely, we miss singing together. We miss the leadership of the worship team. We miss being in one place, being able to clap our hands and hear other people do so. We miss the different musicians using their gifts to lead God's people, singing hymns of praise, hymns of petition, and coming before the Lord in a way that would please him. We miss singing together. We miss the worship team. We miss the Holy Spirit anointing our music time, our praise time together. We also miss baptism and communion. Baptisms and communion are the visible symbols. They are more than ceremonies. We miss the symbols of grace. In baptism, in communion, God conveys to us through physical things, his love, his forgiveness. Through these physical things, physical items, God reminds us that he has created us to be a community worshiping together. I'm always encouraged by remembrance of a sister. She has been spending 2.5 years studying scripture passages, learning to grow as a believer, so that come baptism time, she will be ready. She wanted to be baptized at Easter last year. And by then, she was already in the baptism class for over 1.5 years. But with the pandemic coming, we told her that she would have to be very, very patient until the church could reopen. We would much rather have her be baptized and make a public declaration of her faith in Christ than for her to give up baptism. The church needs baptism and communion to convey and also to share the graces of God among his people. Next, we all have spiritual gifts. We hope that you will join us as you see fit after COVID-19. You have spiritual gifts that we need in the ministries and in the worship of the church. We need everyone to join us and work together as a coordinated body to praise God. Last but not least, our worship together is a witness, not just to one another, to the community and to the world. The world wants to see Christians gather together to exalt their Lord. The world needs the church to come back together, to be a church that is about preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday, when I was at church taking care of some Xeroxing, as I unlocked the church door, I heard someone calling me. asking me whether it is possible to join the church. I turned around and I saw this lady. She looks a little bit like a homeless person, but I can't be, you know, I couldn't be sure. And then I asked her why she wanted to join the church, you know. So in our brief chats together, she said that, you know, she just would like to join the church. She has already been baptized, but that was long ago. But in her heart, she was looking for a church to belong to know the Lord deeper and to serve together. It reminded me of another story in the Mandarin, ministry. One of the restaurant workers was not a believer, but because of the pandemic, he was locked up together with other believers. He was the only non-believers. And as it, you know, the lockdown dragged on for months, he became very, very annoyed at the believers. However, there came a breakthrough point when the Holy Spirit began to work in him. And he found that after he was willing to associate more or to fellowship more with believers, his heart began to change. And later on, after a few months of fellowshipping together, he found that he was willing to accept the Lord Jesus into his lives. There are people outside in the community and beyond who are looking for the church to come back together, to come back alive, and to serve and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to the church when the time comes, it's not so much about reopening the building. It is not so much about picking up where we left off. It is very much about Moses and the Israelites. We have the land before us. It's a new land. It is our new normal. But let us ask God to inspire us. He has led us in the days before pandemic, during the pandemic, and he will do no less. But what's more, he's going to give us confidence, not in our own ability, but in one another. He's going to help us motivate one another through the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And God is going to remind us of the joy and also of the harvest in Christ, in the new normal that is before us. As we return to church, hopefully soon, let's ask God to strengthen us as a community of believers, because we know that God has a job for us to do now and in the new normal. It's as much a time for the church to be the church as any. God has called us, and that calling remains the same. It is the same Great Commission. It is the same agape love. It is the same serving one another. It is the same witness in Washington, D.C. and beyond. It is the same worshiping him together and rejoicing in his goodness and leadership. It is the same body of Christ coming together and say, God, thank you for leading us so far. And thank you because we know that you will continue to lead us forward and use us, bless us in the new normal. So we may discover more of you, enjoy you, and share you with other people. Thank you for what you have been doing among us. Thank you for what you have been doing in the community. And thank you, Father God, for preparing us to serve together so that the Lord Jesus may be honored. All praise goes to God for his leadership, for his assurance, and also for the examples of faith, action, commitment, and love from our brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because we know that your word is full of inspiration to cause us to focus on you rather than the giants, to embrace victory in Jesus Christ instead of defeat. We also know, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will keep working in your church, CCC, and elsewhere to inspire us to follow you. Lord, we thank you for the preparation you have done among us during these so many months of staying at home, worshiping online. But we also know, oh Father God, that the harvest field out there is ripening. Thank you, Father, for brothers and sisters at CCC and in your church elsewhere, for their desire to not only meet again physically, but also to be your people in an effective and spiritually influential manner. We just pray, Father, you will bless all leaders in their preparation. And help us, oh Father God, never to forget that we are on the verge of the land of promise. We have seen what you have done. We believe, Father, in your power and in your blessings. Just lead us and release us, Father, into the new normal. We pray your name will be honored among your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask. Amen.